Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Cabrera. Here, we bring women of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, everyone. So glad you are joining us for the Faith Conversations podcast. I am here with Paula McKay, and I cannot wait for you to hear her story and a little bit more about her life. So thank you so much, Paula, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, Jessica.
I am just so excited. I have had the chance to hear a little bit of Paula's story in the past, but I don't know what she's going to share with us today. So I'm very excited to hear from Paula today. And why don't we just start with your background? Can you tell us a little bit about your background of faith, maybe when you began to follow Jesus?
Sure. So I've always believed in God. So I was raised, both my parents are Jewish. So I've lived in this area my entire life in the Northern Virginia area. And I wouldn't say that they were huge, like that we didn't go like to temple devout, every devout. We didn't go every Friday Jewish. Night and this, but we did the holidays. My parents did the right thing. They sent me to Hebrew school. We did the holidays. So we did those types of things. So I always knew who God was. One holiday that stands out was like when I got a little older, I think I was like in junior high, was Yom Kippur, and the act of giving your sins to God on that day. So that's really interesting. That just came into my head too. I hadn't even thought about that in a long time, but that was really interesting. So that was one thing. And I also felt like there was more. My mom, for some reason, has been surrounded by Christians her entire life. Her best friend came from a big faith family. She grew up with her. Gosh, she had two best friends that were sisters, and the mother was very Christian and, you know, very spread the word. And as growing up, my mom was also surrounded by Christian friends that a lot of them went to church. A lot of them were very open about talking about Jesus, very open and wanting to share about Jesus.
And was that during your childhood or your mom's?
That was during my childhood.
Okay.
So these were friends that my
her
mom
adult
had.
Friends mm-hmm. while you were a kid.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've always known that there was a Jesus. I just didn't quite understand it and why I needed to believe in Jesus when I had God.
Right.
And so the turning point for me was in my early 20s. That I couldn't resist not accepting Jesus anymore. Hmm. I think I had heard so much about him and just wanted that in my life. And pretty early on, like when I was like 23 is when I accepted him. And I accepted him with family friends in their church. And actually their church was very evangelical. Oh. So with speaking in the tongue, I mean, it was like... It's not your typical...
It was not the typical Jewish girl experience.
No. But it felt right. I don't know how to explain it. When I became a Christian, one of the acts that happened was I could see very, very clearly. Mm. And now that I know a little bit more, I've known this for years, people would reference things in the Bible about the scales being taken off of your eyes and the veil being lifted. All I can say from my experience was when I accepted Christ, really in my heart, like when I really took that leap of faith and that was the day I took it, I was with my best friends. I'm kind of all over the place, but I'll try to like reel this in a little bit. But it happened in all these like different times in my life. Like it wasn't just one person talking to me about Christ.
Oh, yeah.
It was so, you know, you always hear people talk about sometimes you don't have to be that one that is like, going to somebody say, hey, you better believe in Jesus or, you know.
This. Right. Sometimes, convert people. And yeah.
It's just showing kindness. It's being offering. I would always go to somebody's Easter service. Mm. Always open. I loved Easter. That's still my favorite holiday right now. Right. And actually, that's around the same time that I accepted Christ. And I remember going to my best friend's house with her sister because she and her sister and I became Christians at the same time. And I remember sitting there with my best friend's mom saying, I can see really clearly. I don't know how to explain it. And it wasn't that I could see spirits or anything. I could just see, like I'm looking at you right now.
Right.
It was just it's a very clarity.
Just like you were looking at the world through like a clearer lens or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like somebody gave me contact lenses and I could see again.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was the feeling that I had. And I just knew it was right. I knew I made the right choice.
All over scripture, it says your eyes will be opened, you know, and we, the opening of the kind of the eyes of your heart idea, you help me see clearly, hear clearly, see as you see, hear as you see. You know what I mean? Just thinking about in relationship to God and having a sense of that God imparts wisdom upon his children. And in your case, you felt like that veil had been lifted and suddenly you just could see clearly. Was the seeing clearly also a sense of understanding, like that you understood things more clearly?
No.
Okay.
I think
that's interesting.
I think it was a sense of vision. Uh-huh. I don't know how else to explain it. Now that we're talking about it, I haven't thought about it in years. Uh-huh. We were sitting at our round kitchen table, and all I remember is saying, "Mrs. Morris, I can see so clearly. Like, I can just see so much better. Like, it was just, it was really like that person that couldn't see without glasses.
Uh-huh.
That's I could see the world clearer.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a really interesting sensation, but I felt God. I felt loved.
Right. And I actually like the fact that you said not necessarily understanding, because a lot of times people think that in order to have that kind of transformational faith experience that you have to understand God fully, or you have to understand things or have all your questions answered. And that is just not true.
No.
I mean, every person that I've known who has made a decision to follow Jesus and has had their life transformed. I mean, it's changed. It's a changed life, which is so hard to describe to someone who hasn't experienced it, right? But it's not about complete understanding in the moment. You grow in your understanding mm-hmm. and in your wisdom and knowledge over time, but it's not right then. So I love the fact that you said that so honestly, because that is true. And I think it proves the fact that you don't have to have all of your questions answered in order to have faith.
Yes. Oh, 100%. And as you were talking, I'm thinking in my head, the story that I just relayed to you about my path to get to to believe in Jesus seemed very chaotic to me when I was telling you that. It didn't seem to have it wasn't a straight line of telling you a straight story, because that's not how it was.
Right.
Because it happened in different times from the time I was like probably like a elementary school when I started understanding who God was until my 20s. There would be pockets of times in my life where Christianity would come in. I'd be going to Catholic church with my friends on a Saturday night. I went to church with my friends for Easter. My mom went to, what are they called? Born again Christian groups or Jews for Jesus or something.
Oh, okay.
She and my aunt went to that group and came back and told us about it. So it was like different pockets of time that people have shared and these experiences. And that, I think that's why my story feels a little like, I can like a maze until I got
but
to
it
like,
also mm-hmm. to me, it's like a puzzle. It's like puzzle pieces mm-hmm. until it's complete. That's so interesting. Now, I'm curious, when you said you were in your early 20s when you made this decision, and I love how you described it, that you couldn't resist not having him. I love that, man. I'm going to keep that. But man, I just couldn't resist him. I love that. But I'm wondering, was any of your family at this point, was any of your family Christian, or was your family Jewish and you were the only person who at this point had come to know Christ?
Yeah. I had my mom and dad and mm-hmm. my sister and my grandparents, my dad's mom and dad and aunts and uncles. But no, I was the only one first.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now that you've been really living a life of faith for a while, mm-hmm. I'm curious, what have you learned about God?
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's a big question.
It's a big question. So if I break it down, the way I think about it is in decades.
Okay.
So the way I've been learning about God has changed over time.
Okay.
So in my early 20s when I started, when I first started believing, I would go to all different types of churches, trying to find the right church. In those first 10 years, I met my husband. We got married, had a family, you know, we started having a family. I started doing some volunteering. Some things happened with my parents in their life that was, you know, just financially that wasn't good. But I also was dealing with a lot of guilt and shame. And I also was dealing with a lot of things I didn't understand about Christianity.
Right.
I didn't know angels were real. I didn't really think the devil was real. Like, I heard about him, didn't really know about evil, didn't realize evil was really in this world. And it wasn't until I went to a pretty intense Bible study, and it was for women, and it was just something that I was dealing with. It was some issues I was dealing with. And the leader of the group was just, you know, God puts you where you're supposed to. I mean, you start, that's in one thing, you know, the longer I'm a believer, he just knows where you need to be when you don't. And this leader was just so kind and so knowledgeable of the Bible and the history. And the group was just very, very small group. We were very open to share. And I finally understood about evil, finally understood about that.
You were able to ask your questions in a safe environment.
Yes, exactly. I couldn't say these things out loud because of how I still like And it still creeps up. It still creeps up, but I know how to get rid of it quickly. Once my heart and my mind understood that there was evil in this world and how the devil tries to trip you up, that's when I was able to let it go. And I stood in front of the, and I don't remember if this was me doing it or the lady told me to do it. I don't know. Somewhere I got into my head. I went into my bathroom and stood in front of the mirror. And I told Jesus that I needed his help and I didn't want the devil to be holding me anymore. And I didn't want it. And I threw it away. I had to look at myself in the mirror and I had to go through like a transformational thing because it was just so strong.
Wow.
And I kept asking for forgiveness. And finally, that's what it was. She finally said, you keep asking for forgiveness. He's already forgiven you. Like, he doesn't, that's not from God. The guilt that you're feeling is not from God. It's not from him.
Right.
That was a big revelation.
Wow. And it sounds like maybe you experienced some freedom whenever you let go, when you were able to let go of that guilt.
Yeah. I was, yes, freedom was a way, but it also, freedom, but I also learned another piece about the Lord and understanding more about the Bible and understanding also how to come up with tools to let things go when they would creep. Because, man, that guilt and shame can come back so quickly. So I've learned some strategies on how to not let that keep me down. Not that it doesn't always work 100%. I'm not perfect, but I've learned strategies over time to let that go. Because I don't want any part of the devil keeping my thoughts or anything like that. So when I recognize it, I really try to give it away.
Right. Yeah. A prayer I pray often is from the armor of God. And what we read about the armor of God is that the shield is the shield of faith, and it deflects the flaming arrows of the evil one. And I have prayed so many times, Father, I lift up my shield of faith to deflect the flaming, the flaming arrows of the evil one. I lift up my shield of faith to deflect the flaming arrows of the evil one, because those arrows aren't just there to penetrate. They come towards you to destroy. And back, you know, in wartime, they would light the tips of the arrow so that they could, penetrate, you know, the kind of straw and hay area that was under their artillery stations and whatnot, and then just catch everything on fire, kind of burn it down from the ground up kind of thing. And I think, you know, that shield of faith genuinely does. I mean, I can't tell you how many times just exercising faith and raising that shield of faith has just caused those things that are flying my way, like in your case, it was guilt and shame, and just deflect it, turns it off. What are you you say for fire? How do you puts it out?
Puts it out. Puts the fire out.
I can't speak English today. For anyone listening, I'm bilingual, and sometimes I really struggle with English. I will say it in English the way you would say it in Spanish. But anyway,
yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. So, puts out the flame. You know, just puts that flame out and deflects that arrow. And I love that imagery. I just really love imagery. All right. So you were telling me about all the stages. So this was your kind of early, your first stage, right? Mm-hmm. Where this big revelation you learned about God was about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And about evil, mm-hmm. the existence of evil, and then how God, you can go to God for help to protect you against evil.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. Okay. Did you have other seasons when you learned other things?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Then I guess if you go into the next decade or uh-huh. so, or maybe a little farther up, all this time, I pretty much was plugged into Bible studies. So there were times that I did small groups, like a couple small groups. There were times I did just women's small groups. There were times that I did things at church. So that really built my my knowledge mm-hmm. and my love and everything. So that kind of built. So that's been huge. And
yeah, really getting to know the Word of God.
Yeah,
you really get to know Him.
Yeah,
right
now. You know, it comes in spurts sometimes. I will say I've worked my entire career
mm-hmm.
and I have definitely let work get ahead of other things that are important. I still do it. That's still a struggle I have today.
Right.
Battling it today, coming here. Yeah. So, you know, it's like yeah. that's still a constant struggle. Another thing was in my 40s, probably like my mid 40s, I got diagnosed with breast cancer and ovarian cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
And my mom died that same year.
Wow.
So to make a long story short,
yeah,
I'm healthy. Everything was caught early, but through that process, there were a lot of surgeries. There were a lot of questions like, is it worse than we think it is? Is it
right.
this? A lot of relying on God, a lot of relying on family and friends. I think during that period, I didn't realize how powerful scripture was.
Mm.
The one thing that really got me through that whole time, because it went on from like August 2003, oh gosh, all the way through May of 2004. I mean, it was a long period of time.
Right.
It was people giving me scriptures, people praying over me. That is such a powerful, powerful thing. And sometimes it drives me a little crazy that it's so pivotal in my life, but it really was. I mean,
yeah.
My son was only 13 years old.
Right.
I was like, I remember praying to God, like, oh my gosh, I really need to survive. Like, I want to see him live. But then there were so many blessings in it. I had never been a stay-home mom. So when I was home at some points for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, different times recuperating. I actually got to be a stay-home mom.
Right.
I would be sitting on the couch when he'd come home from school and I'd be watching Ellen and he'd go, oh, you're watching Ellen again. But it was, but so, I mean, so it's like during this kind of a darkish season, he gave me so much joy in this. It was so weird. I can't even explain it.
Yeah.
It was the worst, but it also definitely, I mean, that's when I started journaling.
Right.
Oh my gosh. I was crazy with journaling. I'd write thoughts down. I'd write my prayers down because I couldn't stay focused. So I couldn't stay focused. So
right.
If you never are able to stay focused, journal.
Right.
That's how I got my prayers out. That's how I was able to speak to God.
I love that.
You know, we were going to church. We were involved in Sunday school. You know, my son was in Sunday school. I think we were probably in a small group. I was taking a Wednesday class.
Mm.
And I don't usually take Wednesday evening classes, but I happened to be doing, oh gosh, it'll come to me. It was such a good, it's an old study, but it was really, really good. But the women in that class were incredible.
Right.
But God placed them there. I mean, it was just...
Well, it goes to say also about the importance of seeking out community,
mm-hmm.
right? And getting involved in things that are outside of work.
Yes.
Because at a time like that, you're supposed to quote unquote not work, right? You're off work. And so therefore your work people are not the people that are in your corner, you know? And just think about all of the people that don't go to church or that don't have a small group or a life group or that don't have a Wednesday night study or they don't have any of this community. And then they hit on a hard time, like what you're talking about. And who's praying over you and for you? Who's sending you encouragement, you know, and how, and who is the, what God are you turning to, you know? And so I just, my heart aches, honestly. When I speak with people who really don't have any community beyond just maybe their immediate family, that can really genuinely support them and be there for them, because I feel so blessed. I feel so blessed to have had the communities that I've participated in, and you're kind of talking about that as well, how, what a big difference that made for you.
Yeah. I didn't even realize it until, I don't think I made the connection until we were just talking right now, how, thank goodness I had that ahead of time.
Right. So it seems like you, in that season of your life, you learned a lot of different characteristics of God. I mean, not only his faithfulness and healing, but also the power of community of believers, as well as his light in darkness, his peace that surpasses all understanding, and a joy that comes with a fullness that is so much more than we could ever conjure up on our own. Mm-hmm. And also how he steps into our darkness. He steps into our chaos and he meets us there. It's not like he, I don't know. I just think it's so beautiful how the relationship that we have with God is genuinely just that. It's a relationship. It's not something that is scripted to be one type of way.
No.
He's in it all. He's in all the things with us. And so I think that's really beautiful. Well, gosh, we've talked about lots of different experiences as we've been going through this. And I'm just wondering, I mean, is there anything else that's taken place in your life that's been kind of one of these behind the scenes experiences that you want to share?
So life is tough, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Right. My husband and I have been through a lot with our different children, our life circumstances. But one thing we do cling to, when I'm not strong, he can be strong. And like right now I'm going through something at work and he's been super great. Like he's been super encouraging, telling me, you know, reminding me, you know, it's not just your circumstance, it's God. You know, he's faithful. He's always been faithful. Mm. We've got to just, it's going to be okay. So having him as a partner of encouragement, that's really, really helpful. And now I almost forgot what you just asked me.
No, I love that you brought that up. I love that you brought that up, because I think, you know, because that is a behind the scenes thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, a behind the scenes experience, you know, I just like talking to people about ways that they've experienced God, or that faith comes out in their life behind the scenes, because it's one thing, you know, someone says, oh, I go to church, or, you know, oh, I sing in the choir, or I go to a Bible study. And maybe that's, I mean, even though not everybody knows that, that's something that's kind of easy to, you know, digest, I guess, out in the world. But I just love talking about what are the other things. And so I think this is a very behind the scenes thing, right? This is a marriage. I mean, a marriage to someone who is also a believer, who, and what that looks like, you know, to be in a relationship with someone where both of you have a faith in the one true God, and you are clinging to God together. And so whenever something's hard for you, he encourages you and pushes you in your faith, which clearly feeds all that, the other stuff we were just talking about, joy and peace and patience and, you know, perseverance and all of these things that come from a life of faith. But and then when I'm sure whenever he's struggling or going through a hard time, you're there to give him that same type of encouragement. And I think, you know, a lot of times it's one of those things that we don't talk about as often, you know?
We don't. And then behind the scenes, one thing I think is key is you can't experience the behind the things if you're not being quiet and listening. Mm. So I think that's an important piece that I have had a really good practice of it since COVID, especially because I've had more time. I've never had time in the morning. My time in the morning was like getting out. Well, sometimes in the car. So I shouldn't say that. That's not true. I would listen to like Dobson in the morning. I do my prayers on the drive to work and things like that. So right. There's been moments in time like that, but I've been able to really get quiet and listen and talk and read and do some studying. And I think I can experience those moments now more or recognize them more. Yeah. Like, oh, wow, God, you did that. Like the good things that happened during the day, you know, it's like, oh, thank you. That right. was, I needed that win. Like, thanks. I really needed that win. And recognizing those little things and that he really wants to be involved in our life. It's us that forget. It's right. like, you know, and I do that sometimes in the morning. I'll say my prayers. I'll have like an hour worth of time. I mean, it'll be precious time. And I go into my office and shut the door. It's like, what happened to my precious time? But the days that I don't do that, it's so much more special.
I love that. Well, thank you. I think it's, I love hearing that you find connection when you listen. And I think that's what I was hearing you say is, and I love the fact that you brought up listening first. You did, you know, and not necessarily like quiet time or prayer or whatever, which are also true, but it's the fact that you emphasize listening as the very first thing you said, because we can often forget that part. We can say, oh, I need to pray. Okay, that means I'm talking. Or I'm going to read a book about God, or I'm going to read the Bible and do a study or something like that that helps me understand more about God, which is all good practices. And like we've talked about, you've done that over the years, as have I. But I do think that really mastering the art of listening, being quiet, sitting in silence with no distractions, no devices, no anything else, and going to the Lord and saying, okay, God, what do you have for me? What do you have for me? And he brings stuff to your mind, doesn't he? Like, it's amazing how he'll meet you there and just bring something to mind that maybe you would not have thought of if you had not allowed that quiet space.
And it's not easy. And I think I probably brought up listening because I think it's been so now phasing up to where I am today,
right?
Where I am, I think that's something I'm trying to practice more. Mm. And I'm finding it difficult, really difficult, because even when I'm silent, I'm talking in my thoughts.
Right.
So it's that's what I'm trying to be more mindful of it and listening. And I'm even trying to, like, I have a routine in the morning, or a routine that I learned. Gosh, I was in a really good women's Bible study when I was working in Reston, and me and another coworker went with, and we just study. I mean, we did the K. Arthur books, and I just learned so much. And the woman that led the group was amazing. And something that stuck with me was the three P's. It was praise, petition, and prayer. And I'm very visual. For me to stay regimented in something, I have to have, something has to stick, and that just happened to stick. Mm-hmm. So I sit on the floor on my yoga block, cross my legs, and that helps me focus. And that helps me try to be quiet. And I try to like do some breathing exercises, but it's a practice because my mind never stops.
Right.
It's amazing how your mind just thinks about the dumbest things sometimes. Yeah. But it's just like, it just won't stop. And I think that's where I am right now, is like with my practice that I have and, you know, reading and my Bible studies and everything, is how do I listen? And that's what's, and I'm understanding that it's becoming very important.
Yeah. I love that. I love that you're seeking to learn more about that. And especially because this is one of those things that when we ask God, God, help me hear your voice in new ways and fresh ways, help me listen, he will answer that prayer. That is a prayer that will not come back void.
Maybe I need to do that. Yeah. Maybe you're teaching me something here tonight. It's funny because I'm also a coach. So I do like leadership coaching and life coaching. And I'm great at looking at you and listening for a person here. But I think because I can't see him, you know, that's where my thoughts start coming in.
Right.
But that's where I think the listening came. That was a long way to get you there. But I think I brought up listening because it's something that I'm trying hard to be better at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. Continuous growth.
Yes.
Yes. I love that. Well, Paula, this has been such an awesome conversation. I love your authenticity and just your candor in talking about your journey with God over these years and coming to know Jesus at the age of 23 after growing up as in a Jewish household and really just having this kind of crooked path to finding Christ and then a real true transformation since then. In everything that you have shared with me today, it seems as if you never looked back. Never. Yeah. If you guys could only see her face, she's absolutely not.
No, never look back.
If you would like to know what the Bible says related to today's faith conversation, please go to the description of this episode. To hear more faith conversations, click follow. And you can share this episode to encourage someone else on their journey.